Last week, I was between speaking engagements, and I was in the hotel restaurant. I was wolfing down this lunch. And it's like the Lord stopped me and said, would you just slow down and enjoy the things? I thought, yeah, God, I haven't even tasted anything I've eaten so far. God showed up and said, just slow down. I thought, oh, I would, but I almost pow. And you know, I did. I just said, wait a minute. God gives me this time. I need to just enjoy it. And hold, the last quarter of that sandwich was so ono.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, a subject you don't hear preached about very often. There are lots of serious subjects in the Bible, but today Pastor Wayne is going to show us that there's also a time for us to have fun, a time for rest and relaxation, that God wants us to enjoy the things He has created. Here is Pastor Wayne from the series Rhythm of Life with a message entitled Taking Time to Play.
Today we want to talk about one of the ingredients to balance out our lives that's absolutely critical, and almost sometimes we think it's unspiritual to talk about in church. But it's such a crucial ingredient that without it, our lives are unbalanced. Let's read the scripture out of Psalm 16, verse 11 at the top of our notes. Are you ready? Let's read it. Go. You will make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forever. I want you to underline the whole first phrase. You will make known to me the path of life. Did you know that God says, I will show you, I will give you the path of life. The result, where it's going to end up, the presence of the Lord. Because out of that is what I want, where I want you to live. That's where I want you to have your life. And Paul says in the book of Acts, that's it's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. We exist. So God is saying, I'm going to show you the pathway so that the presence of the Lord will be that out of which you live your life. And it says, and in thy presence is what? Fullness of? And at thy right hand are pleasures forever. Did you know that God is saying that to have a life filled with joy is not a distasteful thing? It's something that the Lord says, it's pleasurable in a right, godly, spiritual way. And so we want to talk about the rhythm of life today. I have a friend that plays in the minor leagues, and he was up to bat, and they pitched him a fastball that was hot, like off the griddle, and just came barreling down the pike, and he swung at that thing, and a line drive came off of his bat. I mean, not a pop, but a line drive all the way to the backfield, all the way to the outfield fence. Careened off that fence, came back in. He was turning first, and they stopped him at a double. And he had got a double off of that. And I thought, man, what a powerful hit. I mean, it wasn't an arc. It was a line drive to the outfield fence. After the game was over, I said, man, did you connect with that one or what? He said, Wayne, I just missed it. I said, what do you mean you missed it? He said, just about that much off the sweet spot. He said, if I would have caught it at the sweet spot, that thing would have gone over the fence into the upper deck. I thought, good gravy. We all know what the sweet spot is. If you play tennis or golf or racquetball or baseball, when that ball hits that sweet spot, it is the place where there's the greatest amount of impact, the greatest amount of power, the greatest amount of responsive trajectory that comes off of that bat. And when it's off and you don't hit the sweet spot like in tennis, it gives you tennis elbow, right? Or you're golfing and you whack and, ah, oh, wow, my hands. If you miss the sweet spot, it hurts you. But if you hit the sweet spot, like on golf, man, it's like that was effortless, and that thing just fires off of the club. It's amazing, that sweet spot. And those that are more professional at it have learned to find the sweet spot, and there comes to be a rhythm in their swing. There's just a rhythm in their step, a rhythm in their motion, a rhythm in their timing and the movements. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's what I come to refer to as living out of the sweet spot of your life. Living life out of the sweet spot. Because when you do, there's a timing and there's a rhythm. But in order to do so, that sweet spot is a balance of the most important ingredients, most important components of your life. He said, well, Wayne, where do you find that sweet spot? And what are those priority areas that need to be balanced that you can live out of the sweet spot of your life? Well, it's something that I've come to see as what I call the one-year rule. That will help you find what are the most important ingredients that need to be balanced out of which you live with priority and focus. Well, what are those things? What's the one-year rule? The one-year rule is this. If you had 1 year left to live, what would be the most important things that would bubble to the surface? I've done hundreds and hundreds of funerals and walked people through their last years of life. And through all of that, I found that the closer you get to death, it's like these things pop up. Coming back, I was in Los Angeles this week doing some pastor's seminars. And usually when I get on the plane, it's almost an instinctive habit. I lay hands on the doorway and I pray for that thing, that God keep it in flight, because I still don't understand how that much tonnage of metal can get off of LAX, go over the ocean for that long with sharks underneath and land at Honolulu safely. This boggles my mind. So I always pray for safety and the Lord keep this thing in flight. Well, I forgot to do that. And so I just rolled my carry-on and Elwin was with me and he sat down next to me. And about halfway through the flight over the ocean with sharks, we started dropping and bumping. I don't know if there was a tropical depression this last week here or something, but we hit it and man, we were just jostled every which way. And I started to get scared and I thought, oh, I forgot to pray for a plane. I'm gonna die now. And I remember looking around kind of embarrassed. I laid hands on the window. Oh God, forgive me, I'm so sorry. Forgot to pray for the plane, you know. Elwin, he just snoring away. I thought, you know, help me. And I kept praying. But it's amazing how the closer you get to death, it's like the closer you get to whom? Yeah, here's one of the things. Number one, would you write in your bullets, your relationship with God bubbles to the surface. Your relationship with God is one of the things that comes into priority focus. Isn't it true that if you're not doing okay with God, something's missing? You cannot live out of the sweet spot of your life with unresolved sin. Without a genuine relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, you'll never be able to have or find that rhythm of life because you're designed that way. I was just talking to a young man last night outside. He's someone that's come to New Hope and yet doesn't know the Lord, and he's still searching for his faith. And he said, you know, Wayne, I've got all these things going, but there's something missing. There's a puka right in the middle. And I said, you know, that's why the Bible says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? I said, that's your soul. Something's missing there. And that's why God has brought you here, to find not necessarily what's going wrong, but to find out how to get it right. And that's to receive Christ. Oh, he said, I've got doubts though. So, you know, outside of God's embrace, you'll never be able to work out your doubts. I tried to, but on your own strength, you don't have the ability or the power or the savvy to do that. That's why God opens his embrace to you and your doubts to come in. Bring your doubts with you. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. Then within his embrace, his power and strength will help you to work out your doubts, because it's only through his strength that you'll be able to figure it out anyway. That's why you can't. You're outside of his embrace. You walk into it, receive him, and you watch what God does. He says, that's it. That's the answer. And so it's just a miracle that took place outside after service. You see, you will not be able to live out of the sweet spot of your life unless you have a relationship with God. The second thing that bubbles to the surface is relationship with people. Isn't it true when someone is coming to the end of their life, often they'll say, you know, I just got to get this right with my dad, or I got to get this right with my mom or my brother. You see, one of the things in this one-year rule that pops to the surface is the forgiveness that needs to be issued and received. You cannot live out of the sweet spot of your life if there's unresolved relationships with others and unresolved sin with God. The third thing that comes to the surface is eternal investments. Would you write that in? Eternal investments. Every single one of us have been given abilities or talents, skills, and gifts. How are you using them? Have you squandered your life? Have you taken all of the things that God has given to you and used it on moi and mine and me? Have we just used them up? Or have we stewarded them the way that God has intended for them to be stewarded? In His ways, for His purposes. How's about our finances? Have we been investing it correctly in the way that God has wanted us to? Did you know that 2/3 of the parables have to do with money? Because a lot of the way that we handle our treasures, our money, will determine the things about our life. It's a true measurement. For example, it's in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, that talks about the true measurement of our heart will be found in our treasures, where we put our treasures. For the scripture says in Matthew 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there shall your what? Heart be also. You notice it doesn't say where your heart is, there shall your treasure be also. No. It says where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. The true measurement of my heart and where it really is, all I have to do is look at really where I'm investing. Am I investing it all in myself? Then my heart is for me. Am I investing it in the way God wants me to invest it in? It's a true measurement of my heart. Also, the way I handle money is a true measurement of whether or not I'm ready for God's eternal influence. Luke 16, 11, would you write that down? Just a little scripture reference. It says this, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon or money, how will I ever entrust to you true spiritual riches? He's saying, Wayne, I want you to have eternal influence. And that's going to be determined by how you handle temporal influence or funding or money. How are you doing with that? You see, some of us have talents. Others have, say, leadership abilities. Others have financial abilities. But did you know that all of us will stand accountable before God one day and answer as to how I have utilized those abilities for my purposes or His? God's going to say, Wayne, how did you use your leadership abilities? Someone else with financial ability will have to be accountable. God's going to say, I gave you leadership, Wayne. Did you use it for yourself to amass people just to you? Or did you use your leadership ability for the reason that I gave it to you for? Did you steward it well? Another with financial ability. Did you use it for yourself or did you use it for what I've asked you to use it for? Someone with talents. Did you use your talents just for your own self-aggrandizement or did you utilize them? Did you develop them for the sake of the kingdom so that there would be a pleasure that would come from God by the way that you've been stewarding this? So all of us, the way we utilize our investments are extremely important. And at the end of our lives, we want to be able to say, Lord, I want to make sure that I've used these correctly for your purposes. And then the last is something that we often forget, and that is this, taking time to enjoy life. How often people will say at the end of their life, Wayne, life went right by me. I didn't taste anything of life. My kids grew up and they are gone. I don't even have memories of that. I want to take time to enjoy life. Those four things are so critical. My relationship with God, with people, eternal investments, and enjoying life. If those four things are in balance, you'll begin to live out of the sweet spot of your life. Now, today I'm going to take one of those, taking time to enjoy life, and let me highlight that a little bit for you. We live in a world that's so unbalanced. You know, just the other week, my wife and I were in the movies, and pagers were going off all over the place, and cell phones were going off. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. People are mixing business with pleasure. Because one lady's cell phone went off, and she answers it right in the movie. Hello? Yeah, no, 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 no. I don't like that one. Yeah, okay, bring me that one. Okay, okay. So, and I'm thinking, who is this? I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. Technology is supposed to free up more time for leisure, but instead, it has blurred it. See, you and I have to choose to take time to enjoy life, and she has to turn that thing off. Otherwise, I'm going to turn it off for her. No, just joking, but we have to choose to take time to enjoy life. Otherwise, it'll stay a blur in our lives. So, you say, well, if you're balanced with this one-year rule and you understand that, you'll start to live out of the sweet spot of your life? Absolutely, and they'll become a rhythm of life. Well, as we take this one thing, taking time to enjoy life, you say, Wayne, how then do you increase the rhythm of that, especially that one ingredient that I need to put into the balance of my life? How do you increase that? Let me give you three simple ways. Number one, would you write in your notes? Number one, take time to enjoy the simple things. Take time to enjoy the simple things. Let's read what God says in Ecclesiastes 5:18. Ready? Go. Here is what I have seen to be good and fitting, to eat, to drink, and to enjoy oneself in all one's labor in which he toils under the sun during the few years of his life which God has given him. For this is his reward. See, what God is saying is, would you just take time to enjoy life a little bit? Last week, I was between speaking engagements, and I was in the hotel restaurant. I was wolfing down this lunch. I mean, I just inhaling it. Just inhaling this thing. And it's like the Lord stopped me and said, would you just slow down and enjoy the things? And I'm just eating away. That's true, because I thought, yeah, God, I haven't even tasted anything I've eaten so far. Just slow down, the Lord said. It was like an epiphany. God showed up and said, just slow down. I thought, oh, I would, but I almost pow. You know, he said, just slow down. Just enjoy that. And you know, I did. I just said, wait a minute. God give me this time. I need to just enjoy it. And hold on, the last quarter of that sandwich was so, oh no, you know, it's just so good. Isn't that true? Sometimes even when we have time, we don't enjoy it. I remember when Anna and I were first married. I came home and we had an hour before I had to do something. And she said, an hour, that's all you have, an hour to spend together. I've been here all day and just 1 hour you have. I said, yeah, I got an hour. She said, 1 hour. I've been home all day, and you just come in 1 hour, and then you go out. Just 1 hour, that's all you give me? I said, no, 59 minutes now. The next time, we had like a half hour together, and we started grumbling because there's only a half hour together. Oh, that's only 30 minutes. Next time, we had 15 minutes. We're grumbling about 15 minutes. 15 minutes, that's all we have together, 15 minutes. I thought, well, wait a minute. And we were grumbling. I said, oh, time out. Let's make a commitment. If God gives us 15 minutes, let's be faithful to steward those 15 minutes well and make the best use of it. Because if we can't even steward 15 minutes together without grumbling and arguing and yelling, why should he give us more? No wonder he's taking it away from us. Because if he gave us any more, we'd kill each other. But if we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. But if we're unfaithful in little, why should he give us any more? Let's make a commitment that if God gives us 15 minutes, we'll be faithful to use 15 minutes well. You see, God is saying, would you take time and enjoy the simple things? How many of you believe that we live in the most beautiful place in the world? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, it is gorgeous. But let me ask you this. Isn't it true you live here in Hawaii, but hardly do you go and look at the nice things around here? Let me ask you, How many of you have lived here in Hawaii and you've never been to Waimea Falls Park? Would you raise your hand? Come on, true confessions. Come on, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Yeah, okay. How many of you have lived here and you've never gone on the inside of Diamond Head Crater and seen the inside? Look, oh, yay. Lord, forgive these people. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'd been living in Hilo for 6 years. My brother Jerome came to visit me. And he said, hey, I want to go see Akaka Falls. So I said, sure. So we went up above Honomu and we went down to this tropical, lush forest. Beautiful bird of paradise and red ginger. But we went down through this trail and this foliage has just enmeshed the whole trail. And then all of a sudden, it's like the tropical curtains gave way to the most beautiful, spectacular presentation of one of Hawaii's most premier waterfalls. A beautiful day with a rainbow and the Akaka Falls just came down the side of this mountain. And I stood there in awe. I looked at that. I go, oh, wow. But. And my brother looked at me and said, what are you doing gawking like that? I said, I've never seen this before. He said, you've lived there 6 years. I said, yeah, but take people like you for make-believe you like when tourists so I can guide you around, you know, before I see this. It was beautiful. I never realized how gorgeous it was, and it was in our backyard 20 minutes from our house. It's just amazing how we don't take time. You know, in an old rabbinic saying, it says this, God will hold each of us accountable for the things he put on this earth for us to enjoy, but we refuse to do so. God will hold each of us accountable for the things that he's put on this earth for us to enjoy, but we refused to do so. You know why it's so important for us to take time to enjoy the simple things? Here it is. Because God has some of the most prolific and most eloquent teachers in, number one, in nature. Would you write that in? In nature. There are divine, heavenly sent teachers all around us. But if we don't take time to enjoy nature, we will miss these teachers. Let's read Psalm 19 and verse 1. Ready? Go. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Who's telling it? The. And what are they doing? They're telling us about the glory of God. They're teaching us of the glory of God. I mean, look up at the skies at night. It's just gorgeous. And all the stars are just blinking, blinking for millions of years, just telling of the glory of God, how God has created them, and they stand in allegiance to their master for eons, proclaiming their faithfulness to him who is king. And he says, would you look up to the sky and see a teaching on faithfulness? We have the most beautiful sunsets in the world, don't we? And sometimes Anna and I go up above Kapiolani Community College and there's this little knoll above the theater, Diamond and Theater, and it just shows the city. And when it's the sunset takes place, it is just spectacular. And I look around, you know, and there's like 15 cars all, you know, they're all college kids. But it makes Anna and I feel like we're college kids again. We're just watching the sunset. I mean, like we're 35 now, you know. And we're watching this. And, you know, and I'm looking at it and I say, honey, Psalm 19, the heavens are telling of the glory of God. And I look at her and she's like this. Oh. My wife here? Okay, she's not here. Oh, she's going to give me good licking when I get home. But it's just beautiful. Matthew 6:26. The Bible says this, look at the birds of the air. Neither do they toil, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't they less in worth than you? Aren't you worth much more than they? You know what he's saying? If you struggle with whether or not God's going to provide for you because your money's running out, he says, just go outside and look at the birds. They'll teach you. He continues. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glorious array was never clothed as splendidly as the lilies of the field.
You just heard part one of a message entitled Taking Time to Play by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.